Now, I'm speaking with Stephen Fay, who is a new recruit with Howth Coast Guard. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Pat.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into becoming a volunteer with the Coast Guard and why you wanted to do that in the first place.
Sure, yeah. Originally, I've come from the civil defence. I was quite interested in what the guys in the Coast Guard are doing locally in the community. So an opportunity came up there recently to apply, and I was lucky enough successful to get through to the kind of final assessment night, where a number of people were brought in for kind of meet the team and do a physical assessment. And after that, I was selected to join the team here as a probationary member.
Tell me a little bit about the training that you have to undergo to become a volunteer.
The training is very, very structured. Over the last number of weeks, we've been introduced to the different areas which we're going to be getting trained in. It's broken up into boat exercises, cliff work, search, and then there's other add-on services like using quad bikes and mountain bikes and those kind of areas. There's a large amount of medical involved in it as well. So right now, we're getting trained in the kind of basic areas. So we'll be introduced to working around the cliffs over the next couple of weeks, and we'll be sent off on some specific courses in relation to search and first aid, etc.
Okay, how many new recruits have been recruited for Howth?
For Howth, it's four new recruits.
Four, okay. And how many people would have applied that I mean, okay, so four people got through. How many people would have applied, do you know?
I'm not 100% sure the exact number that applied, but I think it was over 50.
Right, okay. So then there must have been fairly rigorous weeding out processes. Would have been if there were only four places available at the end of it?
Yeah, the actual recruitment process itself was quite structured. The guys sent us all out a detailed form, including tracking where our location is and how we work and our availability during the day to be able to respond to any incidents. One of the big aspects of the recruitment process as well is the guys were looking for a large commitment time-wise. The amount of training involved we have to do, we wouldn't be kind of 100% trained and effective for a number of years with everything that has to be completed. So they're looking for a minimum of kind of 7 to 10 year commitment from new recruits.
Okay, and you were able to give that, yeah?
Yes, I've a very understanding family and partner, so had to be discussed with her first, but yeah, that's what I've committed to.
Yeah. The fact, Stephen, that you were in the civil defence, would that have had a bearing on you getting the place as a volunteer?
Not specifically. The guys are really looking for people who can give a commitment and the time. My experience with the civil defence, for me personally, was a bonus that it gave me a kind of background of what areas I would be getting into. With the civil defence, I was part of the rescue service there, so it was kind of reassuring that I was ready and kind of knew what I was getting myself into here.
Yeah. I noticed, Stephen, that the new volunteers working with schools? They're going to do some work in the schools locally?
Yeah, actually, there's a day today where the guys are heading out to one of the local schools to give them an introduction to water safety. There's quite a number of these days scheduled throughout the year, and even the new recruits are involved in that.
Well, that sounds interesting. I mean, from the perspective of interacting with young people and cluing them in about the dangers of what's happening on the coastline, because it can be quite dangerous at times, can't it? Particular times of the year, I'd imagine, you know, especially winter time, you know.
Absolutely, and if a little bit of education can be supplied in advance to prevent something from escalating into a call-out for the Coast Guard, it's a win-win for everyone.
With regard to Howth Coast Guard, Stephen, would you know how many call-outs the Coast Guard get on a yearly basis for Howth?
Yeah, Howth is the busiest unit in the country. Last year they had 77 call-outs throughout the year. They get quiet weeks, they get busy weeks. Sometimes they were 4 and 5 call-outs in one day during peak times.
I did the Howth Cliff Walk there about a year and a half ago, and I'm not young anymore, and myself and my brother-in-law did the Howth Cliff Walk, and then we I foolishly suggested that, what, you know, asked the question, what's through that gap up that hill there? And we ended up doing the Crown Walk as well in the same day. So it was about a 4.5 hour walk, and I wasn't used to it at all. But just looking at the paths along the way there, would you get call outs from people who are doing the cliff walk and have small accidents like twisted ankles and stuff like that? Would that be part of the work?
Absolutely, yeah. All along the cliff walk would be a kind of regular place for the guys to get call-outs too. Simple things like twisting ankles, and even last year attending a dog that had become ill on the cliffs while the guys were in training was one of the call-outs.
A dog that became ill. Yeah, that sounds gas, all right. Do you know what I noticed, though, on the walk? There were people who hadn't got the proper kind of footwear on them. There were even some ladies with semi-high heel shoes, and at one stage there was even a couple with a buggy on the. Mm-hmm. Would that sort of thing wouldn't really be encouraged for the cliff walk, would it?
Not exactly encouraged. There are plenty of places along the cliff walk and on the upper cliff path that are very accessible. They're very flat and they're very easy to navigate. Some other areas of the cliff path now, you would need to make sure you're wearing the proper footwear and have proper clothing with you and for the elements. It is quite exposed up there, and you know, yeah, being prepared is everything.
Okay, well, look, Stephen, best of luck with your volunteering with the Hoat Coast Guard. Can you put me back onto Fergus there for a minute and I'll have a quick chat with him?
Sure, thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm talking to Fergus again, and I was just remarking there to you how rigorous the whole application process must have been for Stephen to qualify as a volunteer, because he mentioned that there were perhaps 50 people applied and 4 people made it through at the end. And that would suggest to me that the standard of people who are going in to volunteer for Hoat Coast Guard would be absolutely brilliant. Would that be about right, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, not even patches for Hoat, but nationally, I guess the profile of the Coast Guard has certainly increased an awful lot over the last few years, so a lot of people are very interested in getting involved with it. What sometimes people don't realise is the commitment, as Stephen was outlining, that's involved. It's a huge commitment, not just for yourself, but also for your family. You know, like just here the other night now, Tuesday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, we're out on a call for an hour, and you know, you could easily be back out the next day at 9 o'clock for another call. So there's a huge commitment in terms of time that you have to give.
Yeah.
Location is a key part as well in terms of having people that are close to the station. So we can get to an instant fast, we can get the instant dealt with and get home. And it's getting people the right frame of mind as well, that, well, we need to get to places with speed, we need to do it safely, and we need to carry out our roles in the same manner as well.
Yeah, okay. Fergus, you did want to say, you wanted to mention briefly the safety aspect of it, did you, before we finish up?
Yeah, but I should remind your listeners, I suppose, we're coming now, hopefully, into summer. We still have spring maybe to take on first, but even during the springtime, people are getting boats ready for the summer season. And it's just to remind people, you know, the safety that's involved with going out in the water. The website we have is safetyonthewater.ie, and there's some fantastic information in there for people going out on fishing boats, or even people that I just go and say cliff fishing. So they're going out to shore fish up by the cliffs in Hoat or whatever, just to get some information about life jackets and the safety equipment you should bring along with you, and having your boat prepared and ready to deal with every eventuality out in the water. Yep. Just like, I suppose, cars can break down on the road. Unfortunately, the same thing happens with boats, but you don't have the advantage of just pulling into the side of the road and getting a tow back home. You very much at the perils of the sea to a certain extent when you do have an incident on the boat where the engine suffers failure or whatever. So thankfully we have a great organisation here in Hoat with the RNLI, and between themselves and ourselves we try and get the safety message out there to people, and that includes having a VHF radio, so if you do break down, you've got a way of contacting the Coast Guard and the lifeboat can come out to bring you back to shore safely.
Yeah.
And also having flares as well as a first aid kit, and also life jackets that are suitable for everybody that are on the boat. And suitability extends to, I guess, not just having a life jacket for four people on the boat and two of them are children. If you have two children on the boat, you need to have suitable life jackets for them as well that, you know, will fit their size, because quite often people will think, oh, an adult's life jacket will do for a child, but the problem is a child will just come out of an adult's life jacket if they need to put it on and they end up in the water. So it's important to have suitable life jackets and that they're serviced regularly as well to make sure they're all ready for the season.
Okay, Fergus, do you want to give website addresses and emails just in case if people want to contact you for more information and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think the best website is safetyonthewater.ie, and that covers all the different sports that are involved with the water. And the water is not just the sea, but also rivers, lakes and estuaries and harbours that people are doing, carrying out sports on. Or even, as I said, people going fishing, you know, being on the side of a bank of a river or on lakes or quarries, that they can get all the information they need on that website.
Lovely. Okay, Fergus, we're going to leave it there. But listen, I hope you and Stephen and the rest of your colleagues with Host Guard don't have too many call-outs this year.
No, hopefully not, Pat. And thank you very much. And hopefully your listeners, if they can get onto those websites, it would be great.
Yeah, maybe later on in the year, Fergus, we can touch base back with you again just to see how things are going in Hoth, because the weather will be different and there'll be millions of people out in Hoth, I know. So looking forward to talking to you again later on in the year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look forward to that.
Thanks, Fergus. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.